In an earlier episode, we did an introduction to the Open Application Model. Rudder is a reference implementation of that app model, which enables you to deploy and manage applications on any Kubernetes cluster. Mackenzie and Sadanva are back to show us how it works today on Azure Friday. Hey everyone, Donovan Brown here with another episode of Azure Friday. I'm here with Sadanva and Mackenzie, and we're going to be talking about the Open Application Model. In a previous show, we kind of gave an introduction of what this is, and now you're going to show me how it actually works, right? All right, who's going to go first?
Sadanva's going to start.
So the application that we're deploying is a microservice application that is essentially a service tracker.
Okay.
So we're going to have three APIs that this front-end UI is calling. So there's a service tracker front-end,
okay,
which talks to three APIs. And each of these APIs reaches out to an external service to pull information on flights around the world, earthquake zones, and weather stats. And all of this, once it gets pulled, is going to get stored on a local MongoDB cluster.
Gotcha. Okay. And what makes this special is that not only do I have this architecture, but I can now deploy this app in different clouds and stuff like that.
Exactly. Right?
That's what we're going to demonstrate.
Yeah.
All right. Perfect. Cool.
So what we're going to look at is how the developer and operations team need not worry about the infrastructure using the Open App Model and the Rudder implementation.
So what role are you playing?
So I'm playing the infrastructure operator.
And you're the developer?
Yes, and
developer's
the app
rule.
Operator, actually.
Developer's rule, man.
Yeah.
Awesome. So let's go ahead and switch over. So which one of you starts the show first?
So we're going to switch over to my screen. And what we have here is two different clusters on two different environments.
Okay.
So we have a cluster here on Google Cloud. This is the Google Kubernetes engine. So if I just show how many nodes there are three nodes.
Okay.
Let's go ahead and take a look at what's actually on these nodes. So you'll notice that as the infrastructure operator, I've gone ahead and installed Rudder, which is a Kubernetes controller.
Mm-hmm.
And I've set up Nginx as my ingress controller.
Yep, sounds good.
And just to show that there's nothing else running, I'm just going to do a kget ingress. And I'm going to do kget CRDs. And you'll notice that Rudder has gone ahead and created a few new CRDs based on the Ohm spec.
Okay.
So all of the components that we talked about that made up the Ohm specification, mm-hmm. Rudder has created them as CRDs that the cluster will now understand when they get posted to the cluster.
Gotcha. And then we have something very similar on the Azure side as well?
Yeah. So on Azure, we have a cluster with three nodes running on VMSS.
Okay.
And we're going to show the same thing. I'm not going to show everything, but it's just the same setup.
The same thing.
It's Nginx, and it's Rudder.
Right. And then just to be clear, we talked about this a little bit in the last show, but I want to reiterate this. This infrastructure was deployed prior.
Yeah.
Right. And in a DevOps pipeline, your infrastructure's code would still provision this part.
Yep.
And then Ohm would come in after.
Yep.
All right. So I want to make sure the order of operations are understood.
Yeah.
Perfect.
So now as the infrastructure operator, I've kind of set up the infrastructure and we'll look at how the developer can build applications and deploy things to these environments without really worrying about what's providing ingress, what is the cluster,
gotcha.
What's the implementation.
Nice level of abstraction from
it. Exactly.
Ingress controllers are the scariest part of Kubernetes for me every freaking time getting that right.
Yep.
And if someone else can do that for me and all I have to do is say I need one, and that's exactly what this is going to allow me to do.
Yeah.
Perfect.
So now we're going to switch over to Mackenzie's screen and she's going to show us how it's done.
Great.
Yes, sir. All right. So I've been a busy developer. I've written out several microservices, all my APIs, my front end, and I'm ready to start packaging everything up.
Okay.
I'm going to do so using my component schematics. So we've talked about earlier, components are one of the main constructs in the Open Application Model. Here we have our weather components. So this is representing my weather API. And I've specified that it is of workload type server, meaning whenever my application operator is ready to deploy all my components, they should run more than one instance of this. They should also know that there's a service endpoint associated with it and that it will restart upon any sort of exit code.
Got it. And these components don't have to be images that I've built myself. I could just be pulling arbitrary images from the registry and deploying those as well, right? Okay.
Exactly. In addition, I've included a parameter that I expect my application operator to override. So my data URI, I'm not quite sure what it is going to be at this point. So I've just passed in this override string that I know my application operator is going to take care of.
Okay.
Expose the ports, and that's about it. Show you another component just for variety.
Sure.
Here we have a couple more parameters included. This is our front end component. You'll see there's nothing really related to ingress here yet. All we have is that we've called it a UI component.
Okay.
So now that those are all ready, my application operator, who's also me, is going to put all of these things together and deploy it. We kind of intentionally wanted to set this up because while we like call out different personas, they don't necessarily need to be separate people,
sure.
Right? Maybe I'm really involved in the operations as a developer and I want to be writing up these configuration files.
Okay, great.
So here you'll see we have instance names for each of our components and the parameter values. So these are what going to be overwriting the parameters from the component schematic.
Okay.
So I believe we have our weather API right here, and the data URI now has an actual valid URI instead of just override.
Okay.
In addition, so I mentioned those components had a workload type of server. Here I'm going to specify with a manual scaler trait how many instances I want running.
Okay.
So here we're going to have two instances running. Maybe later on our application gains popularity, we're going to want to scale on something besides just having a manual number. That's when we could pop in an auto scaler trait instead.
Got it.
Lastly, we have our service tracker component. So here, this is where we're going to add our ingress trait. As an application operator, I have no idea what Sedanva installed. All I know is I just need to provide my host name, a path, and a port.
Got it.
Cool. So now we're ready to deploy our application. I've written just a simple batch so you don't have to watch me type.
Okay.
And I'm going to specify which cluster I want to deploy this to. We'll start with AKS.
Okay.
And the only difference here is what cluster we're going to register kubectl with.
Okay.
The files will be the exact same. So we'll go through.
Okay.
You can see that these are being created. So we should have all of our component schematics instantiated. On their own, they don't do anything. They're just something that the application configuration is going to reference later on.
Okay.
Everything's been created. Let's go ahead and check our endpoint. So here we call this rudder.aks service tracker.io. And it looks like we have beaten the stand-up time for the Kubernetes cluster. While we wait for that to go through, we can go ahead and deploy onto GKE.
Okay.
So we're going to run the same component install command. We're going to say rudder GKE.
And it's going to apply the exact same components, the exact same traits, the exact same everything.
Exactly.
Inside of EKE. And it's interesting because you use the exact same script as well, right? You literally
yes.
just parameterize it and now you're able to deploy to a completely different.
The one thing I do want to change actually is the fact that I want a different host name so we can see the differences between these two.
Gotcha. And you could have theoretically parameterized this as well, right? So where it could have
exactly.
been passed in versus having to be changed.
So I can go through and use kubectl. To delete the one component that we created. Sweet, it didn't even get that far.
Okay.
We'll run component install rudder GKE with our updated host name so we can have both running side by side.
Okay.
It registers successfully and my component schematics are deploying.
Got it.
While we wait for that, let's check on our rudder AKS.
Looks like we're a little luckier there. Perfect.
And we've made it.
Cool. And then what you'll be able to do here, so this is the actual running app
mm-hmm.
deployed into AKS, and all we had to do is change a few parameters, run the exact same script again, and now we're able to deploy this inside of EKE or EKG or any other cluster, even on-prem, for example, right?
Yes.
So when you're changing the parameter name there, what is that? Is it just a IP address? Like, what are we actually targeting when you're...
Yeah, so it's the cluster IP.
IP is all you're doing.
The host name associated with it.
Interesting.
So let's try rudder on GKE.
GKE.
Let's see. And it looks like it
might
should
get
go
lucky.
Through.
Awesome.
Yep.
Very, very cool. That's right. So what you're able to do here, again, is just as a nice abstraction layer placed upon. And I love, again, the separation of concerns that we talked about in the last show and the fact that having both of you here kind of drives that point home that if you have these two separate teams, there's a clear place for each of them to be able to participate in the deployment and ways for them to communicate with each other through the files themselves without actually having to step on top of each other. Because when you're fighting over certain types of infrastructure's code and you're both in the same file, it can cause problems. But here is there's a nice clear delineation between what you're going to be responsible for, what I'm going to be responsible for, and together we're going to be able to successfully deploy our app into our infrastructure.
Exactly.
Perfect. Well, we are learning all about the open application model here on Azure Friday.